everyone. Welcome to episode 82 of the GBG Cast. I am your host, John Cartwright, and I am joined by baby girl, Daniel Elba.
That would have been even funnier if I just said, hey, baby girl, and no one had any context for why I called you baby girl in the first place.
Yeah.
And we are also joined by the most gorgeous man in the world, Ash Paulson.
In the world? Well, that's me. I'm right here. Gorgeous.
I was going to limit that to your state, but I was like, no, let's go further than state. Let's go the world.
You know what? My Friday's getting off to a good start. It's only 6 a.m., and I'm already the most gorgeous man in the world. I can't complain about that.
But you're not a baby girl. So Daniel's got baby
hills. No, I'm not quite there. I'm still, you know, I got some hills to climb first.
Yeah. Happy Black Friday, yeah. Everybody. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. I spent it with my wife's family, and we just ate a bunch of good food and played some Mario Kart and some Mario Party with her little brother and her little sister, and had a great time. There's lots of smack talking going to be had going around, and it was quite fun.
Nice.
Yeah, my family pretty much had their vacation already. They went somewhere for the last weekend, and then they just spent it here. Or if it was very, very low-key Thanksgiving, a very Mexican Thanksgiving with tamales and everything, so that was nice. Very good. But yeah, nothing super extravagant or anything this year, but that's totally fine to have a really low-key for Thanksgiving too.
We don't really do much for Thanksgiving here, but we stole Black Friday from you guys, and I went out, I finished editing a discussion earlier, so I went out to see what deals I could find. There wasn't a great deal I wanted, but I did find Raincode, which has been on my radar for a while.
Oh,
and
that
was
too.
Like, it was maybe half off? But yeah, this thing doesn't go down in price, it's just kind of stayed static, so this is kind of the chance to get that. But otherwise, there are a few more things on offer, but I kind of already had most of the stuff that I wanted. I saw Sonic Superstars for £20, and that was a £55
really?
Game. So it's
already
almost, well, what's that, like 70% off?
Yeah.
So it's like, please buy this. Don't play Mario Wonder, play our game.
Yeah.
I might be trying to go do a little Black Friday shopping today, possibly. There are a couple of deals I want to pick up. I'm going to try to just do it on Amazon, but I know that dual senses are down to like $49 right now. And unfortunately, one of my dual senses has mad drift, and it's basically unusable. So I got to just unfortunately trash it. It pushes left all the time. Just pushes left, period. And there's nothing I can do about it. Try to reset in the controller multiple times. It's just dead. So I want to get one of those sexy purple dual senses if I can, because those are really cool. But I might pick up FF16 at like, it's like $40 right now. It's like 33% off, and that's a pretty decent price. Usually I'll probably get to it sooner-ish rather than later. But yeah, there are a couple of things I want to pick up here and there, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. There were quite a few big PS5 games I noticed were on offer. So for us, I went to a store and I saw Final Fantasy 16 was £30. Armored Core 6 was also £30. And I think those are both usually £60, £70 games. So pretty big discounts on those ones. Have you picked up anything, Daniel? Are you eyeing anything up?
I'm trying to consider what I have time for before the end of the year right now.
Yeah, I know.
Which is like, I have a few games on hold just because I'm doing a... Not kind of review, kind of look into a game that I'm going to release a video for later today. That's for Persona 5 Tactica. It's not really a secret at this point. But I've been having fun with that one. But I put Spider-Man 2 on the back burner for that one when I don't want to. I want to get back into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Yeah, there's definitely ones that I want to still pick up before the end of the year. And I might get Raincode. I haven't actually gotten Raincode. Like, I love playing Danganronpa, and I wanted to see what else they made from that. So if I see that on sale, I'll probably pick that up too.
Yeah. I mean, you say, like, it's a matter of time. Am I going to have time to play this? Probably not. Yeah.
Sorry, really quick. I just got to call out our good friend Neoxin in YouTube chat really quick, saying, speaking of Black Friday, they just got a 77-inch LG C3 this week.
Whoa.
Good for
77
you.
Inches.
Yeah. I've got a 65-inch LG CX, and 3 years on, that thing is still the best TV I've ever owned. You're going to have an amazing, amazing time with it. And then your other thing, thoughts on Street Fighter 6 Outfit 3. That didn't quite make the cut for our news this week, but really quick, Kimberly looks amazing. And my other two favorites are Jury and Lily. I think all three of those look amazing. Ken looks like crap, though. I don't know what they... Ken and Guile look awful, but Kimberly looks absolutely incredible, and I'm so happy with what they did with her design.
I see amazing in a live audience, some people are talking about eShop deals as well. Chris Tales, the Punchuan Portal Collection. Yeah, they're all real cheap. I also saw that Monkey Island is on sale, and that rarely goes on sale. Very good game.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
Daniel, with Persona 5 Tactica, you are saying that it is one of your favorite, well, the best Persona spin-off. And I'm curious, did I make a mistake not putting that on the best RPG list?
You know, I mean, based on the actual core game, obviously I would rather play Persona 5 Royal.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Persona 4 Golden, Persona 3 Portable. But, like, as a spin-off, I mean, it's still a tactical RPG game, so it does count as one. But I do think that I would put, obviously, the core game above it. But this is definitely probably the better of the spin-off titles based on, like, Persona 3, or Persona 5 Strikers, Persona Q2, pretty much any other game with the Phantom Thieves in it, which is just, like, a dozen at this point by now. But... this is probably one of the best ones. It has the whole voice cast is back. They're all here reprising their roles. Everything sounds, it's like meeting up with old friends all over again. And there's a lot of layers to the game. There's like, I couldn't really stick with like Mario plus Rabbids in that style as much as I could for this game, just because there's actually a lot of layers to this and things from Persona 5 and the Persona formula blend with that style of tactical RPG that you see in like Mario plus Rabbids, Into the Breach, that they blend very well with it. And I think it just kind of works all together nice. As well as it can.
Yeah, when it comes to like these overall list videos for Switch and things, like I feel we're at a point where the library is fairly complete, but then another game comes along. It's like, oh man, we have to like redo this whole list now. Because like Tactica, I have a feeling, might be also, we had like Valkyria Chronicles 4 on there. I have a feeling Tactica might be able to rival that. But like next year, we've also got Thousand Year Door.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Yeah, and like when it comes to adventure games, like I feel like another code's gonna be high up there. Like I don't think you can make an adventure game list now before that comes out. There's still good stuff coming up.
Like, you know, we've still got Chrono Trigger coming to Switch too. Right?
Of course.
It's
coming.
I haven't completely finished Tactica, so I don't know how well I would rank that between that and Valkyria Chronicles, because I love the first and the fourth games of Valkyria Chronicles, and I don't know how I would rank them together. I definitely have more bias for Persona 5 characters, but I'll get back to you on that once I've beaten Tactica, how I feel on that entirely. But they're good games all together. Yeah. Play Valkyria Chronicles. I'm glad that was on the list.
Yeah.
Also, Benji Bearpup and Vedran are reminding us that Unicorn Overlord's coming, and I just like saying that name. Unicorn Overlord,
one of
the most badass names for a game ever.
I haven't been here to disparage the Game Awards, but Octopath Traveler 2 we put pretty high on that list. And I cannot believe that I didn't get a single nomination.
Nothing.
Not even for soundtrack, not for RPG.
No, that's the biggest snub for me. Like, it should have been on there. I mean, I get why maybe it's not in the Game of the Year nominees.
Because they're bozos.
I would have put it there. Yeah, I would have put it there. But best soundtrack? Best
Come
RPG?
On.
How is it not there for those two at least? It's got my vote for best soundtrack of the year.
Yeah.
Like, oh my, how did that get snubbed the way it did?
Before we get too into this, though, this show is sponsored by The Game Orb. The Game Orb is a YouTube and Twitch channel that brings commentary and gameplay footage from the Nintendo Switch and Xbox Series X gaming systems. After the end of the next month, there'll be no more readouts, but you'll still be around in the GVG community there on out. He appreciates all the support he has received up until this point. If you want to continue to support him on YouTube and or Twitch, if you have not done so, we've got links to both his Twitch and YouTube channels in the description. So thank you so much to The Game Orb. We really appreciate that. Here is a heart. Orb.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Game Orb, and everyone, please do show them all the love on both YouTube and Twitch. They have been supporting us at our highest Patreon tier from the very beginning. And you know, I mean, that had to stop someday, and that's totally fine. We love them eternally, and so please go show them your love as well. They have supported us so much, so much.
Absolutely. I know we've talked about the Game Awards before, but I'm very excited for our own Game of the Year stuff, because there are, of course, there's personal preferences, and I can see Vedran's just talked about Pizza Tower in there, and Pizza Tower got nominated for Best Debut Indie, but not Best Overall Indie, while Dave the Diver is in Best Overall Indie, and that game's not even an indie. So I'm pretty excited for us to give our own redemptions to the snubs. And F-Zero 99 is going to be pretty high up there for me, because I still play that whenever I get a chance.
Absolutely.
Man, for me, I mean, as I said, Octopath Traveler 2, but my other two that I would have really liked to see there, more than a couple of the other games that are there, are Hi-Fi Rush and Street Fighter 6. I think all three of those, along with Octopath Traveler 2, really do deserve a nod, and I think the games that are there are amazing, obviously, but personally, I think I would have nominated two of those three over Resident Evil 4 and Mario Wonder, personally, saying. If it had to be just those, just six, if it could be all nine, great. But if it had to be limited to just those six, I would have replaced probably those two most. Baldur's Gate 3 is hard for me because, like, it's not my thing. I have zero interest in it, but I know that everybody who is into it loves it to death. So I don't want to say I'd just take Baldur's Gate off because.
It's easy to look at Baldur's Gate and, like, know that it belongs there. Like, it's another Epsilon. I haven't played. Right. I'm waiting on the physical myself, but I fully respect that it deserves to be there. And likewise, Resident Evil 4, like that, the original is one of my favorite games of all time, and I love the remake as well. But it hasn't stayed with me. I don't think about it that much. Like in terms of just staying power, I can fully I'd fully cut it. I think it's a great game, but there's other games I'd rather give a nod to this year.
And that's exactly how I feel about Wonder. It's a fantastic game. I love it. I think it's wonderful. But it didn't stick with me. I finished it, and I don't even really think about it that much. And I do have some issues with it. As much as I love it, I had some issues with it. And I think it's great, but it's not Game of the Year material for me, personally. But I know that's not a popular opinion.
In live audience, Advance Wars instead of Tears of the Kingdom for Best Soundtrack. I find it weird that Tears of the Kingdom is nominated for Best Soundtrack. Like, sound design? Sound design, yes, absolutely. Great soundtrack? Design. Most of its soundtrack was Breath of the Wild soundtrack.
I agree. I mean, the dungeon music is really good, but yeah, there's not enough really music there for it to qualify for Best Soundtrack, in my opinion. But yeah, I agree. Sound design, it should certainly qualify. Also, Azran makes a great point. Future Connected was snubbed because Phantom Liberty qualified, but it didn't. Future Redeemed, not Connected. Future Redeemed absolutely should be there for Best Soundtrack. And yeah. But, you know, it's the Game Awards, right? You know, that stuff happens every year.
I remember Celeste didn't win Best Soundtrack in its year, nor did Tetris Effect in its year. I think the Tetris Effect was nominated in its year.
Which is insane. Yeah. Insane! Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll stop bitching about the Game Awards. We'll have our own little awards show when the time comes. But yeah, anything else you guys want to talk about before we get to the news?
We do have a couple of Super Chats to read out. We've got one from Red Channel for $5. Thank you, Red Channel. For those that did, what did you think of the Attack on Titan finale? I have not watched it. That's something I need to get caught up on. Attack on Titan is just kind of I've watched like the first season, and that's it, and I need to really get back into that. But what about you guys?
I'm afraid I'm behind, too. I've been watching Scott Pilgrim, but otherwise there's been nothing anime-related for me.
Yeah, I've not seen it. There's a lot of anime I need to catch up on it at some point, but I've not. That's
boring answer. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I love anime to death, but just not enough time to watch everything I want to watch. And AOT is one of those things. We also have £5 from Luke Pilot. Thank you, Luke. UK gang, rise up. Great to be able to finally catch one of these live. Love the show and the channel. Hope you all have a great weekend. Well, thank you very much, Luke, and we hope you have an equally great weekend. And thank you for the love. Thank you so much. Oh, and then one more, actually. We just got one Canadian dollar and 39 Canadian cents from Breaking Free 23 with a sunglasses emoji. Well, thank you very much. If I had some sunglasses next to me, I'd put them on in solidarity with you, but I don't. So thank you all the same.
I always have nothing next to me.
How?
Nice.
These are the ones I wore in the tub, so you know. If that one's too excessive, we can go classic with the small ones instead. I actually
not
can't
excessive
see
at
anything
all.
On
I
my
love
screen.
It.
What is under you right now? Do you just have a void of sunglasses?
I mean, somehow would you think of me differently if I did?
No, I'd be more impressed.
Do These are always here at this point. And then these ones I just got because there was the when Mario Wonder was being released, I was chatting with a Nintendo representative for PR that was at our GameStop, and she was like, we were just chatting for a bit. I mentioned GVG. We're just having a talk before the actual hour came that people were going to start coming in, and they were like, oh yeah, you can take one of these if you want. It's fine, whatever. No one's gonna say anything. So I'm very thankful for that. It has Luigi on it. My Mario nice. Wonder Luigi oh, wow. branded.
I love
Luigi
it.
From like
what render is that? Like, can I see Luigi a bit more? No.
I'm pretty sure it's like some Mario Party. Yeah, one of the like, Mario parties.
That looks like Mario Party. Yeah.
So it's yeah, not. It's not Mario Wonder render Luigi, but I'll take it.
I want to do a video where we just like bring out a bunch of Mario renders and we've got to guess the specific game that render was marketed for. I think that'd be a fun video for a few people.
It'd be fun doing that with sound effects too.
Yeah.
By the way, we've got one more super chat coming in right now for Blaker36 with the $1.99. Thank you so much, Blake. Mamechi for Smash. I'm ashamed to say, I don't know who Mamechi. Oh, Tamagotchi. It's a Tamagotchi care. I like the way it looks. You know what? Just based on appearance alone, yes, I agree. Mamechi for Smash. Come on, Sakurai, make it happen. Point. Yeah,
I can't forget Mamechi because Mamechi is a playable character in the Mario Kart arcade. I think that the third one of that.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So they've That's already so crossed funny. Over before. They just have to go all the way.
I've only ever actually played and or seen the first two Mario Kart arcades in actual arcades. I've never even seen the third one. Yeah.
I believe we also have a birthday shout out. From 2 days ago, it was Egg yes. Roll's birthday. Happy birthday,
yes.
Egg Roll.
Happy birthday, Egg Roll.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Hope you had a good
Thank
day.
Thank you very much for being in our community. Hope you had an awesome day with lots of food and lots of family and friends and games. As
what a
every
trilogy.
Birthday
like, we had, what, Wednesday was Egg Roll's birthday, then it's Thanksgiving, now it's Black Friday. You can't get better than that.
Wow. It's peak. We're living in peak times right now. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Who is ready for some news?
Me. I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's start off with Final Fantasy Ever Crisis has a Steam page now, and it's coming soon. I think we already knew it was coming to PC, but it's coming very soon. That's all we know so far. But I've been so curious about this. It's quite rare that I'm able to just check out mobile games. I don't know why. But I'm very curious to try out Ever Crisis, mostly for the stuff that is kind of lost to time, because it's resurrecting all of Final Fantasy VII. To play it devoid of mobile, just on a PC, yeah, that's totally how I want to do it.
Yeah, you know, I've actually been dabbling in Ever Crisis. I don't play rhythm games myself. Rhythm games, of course I play rhythm games. It's 6 a.m., everyone. No, I don't play mobile games much myself. I'm not a big mobile gamer, but, you know, it's Final Fantasy. It's FF7. I recently got a new phone, well, a new phone, because I got my phone stolen twice in the past month. But that's a whole other thing. But I wanted to, you know, showpiece game to kind of test with my new phone, and Ever Crisis was it. It's pretty rad, man. Like, it's... The presentation is off the charts, and I'm not going to spend a dime on it. I'm not into the whole gacha part of it. I'm not going to get into all that, the microtransactions, but just the core gameplay and the presentation, really compelling stuff. And, you know, if like you, if I can play it without all the mobile game trappings on Steam, I might just do that instead. But, man, it's some cool stuff. I think you're in for a treat.
You've gained the ability, Ash, to speak without moving your mouth.
Oh,
it's very
I did,
impressive.
Yes. I'm really, really good at that. Yep, I'm pretty... There we go. I should be back pretty soon.
Like, speaking of just mobile games, Sonic Dream Team has...
Yes!
I've never owned an Apple device in my life, and I am very tempted to buy an Apple TV to play that game. And if I did that, I'd play Fantasian as well. I know there's rumors and listings of it coming to console soon. If I were to get an Apple TV for Sonic Dream Team, I'd play Fantasian 2.
Same. Those are like the big three that I would want to play through my Apple TV. And Sonic Dream Team, man, that opening animation they released last week.
Good.
It's beautiful. I want a whole series done in that style. Yeah. I would watch a whole ass animated series done in that style. I can't wait to play that game.
Yeah. I mean, I can be upset about how it's being distributed, because I wish it was coming to console, I wish it was on Android, but the sheer effort going into it, I can't be mad about that. The intro looks great. The animation's great. T. Lopes is composing the intro music too, and he sounds incredible. Yeah, it honestly looks like the Sonic game I've wanted for a long time, and it's a Apple exclusive.
Which is, yeah, I hope it comes to console someday, but it's, yeah, I'm not a fan of the distribution method, but man, does that game look exciting. And, but yeah, whenever Crysis does hit, John, on Steam, I think you've got something cool in store for you, man. It's pretty damn cool.
Awesome.
I think it's okay. I think it's only okay, honestly. Yeah. I mean, it has great presentation, but the game, I mean, it's one of those, you hit auto battle and you can just breeze through it that way. And there's some chapters where you can actually move around and explore a little bit, but it's kind of still pretty like linear in that sort of sense. Otherwise, you're just doing battles. And they do progress through some chapters in the original Final Fantasy VII, and then you unlock chapters in like Crisis Core, and then you unlock you do some of those chapters, and you do progress a little bit in that story, and then you unlock some of the chapters in what's it called?
First Soldier. Yeah,
you do First Soldier a little bit, and then. That's the part where I don't really have any knowledge of, so going into that is really interesting to see how that connects a bit. But then you can only go so far until the game has to do another update at a predetermined time again. So it has all the trappings of like your typical mobile game in that sort of sense. And of course, there's like a gacha to help you do places more efficiently with your whole 5-star characters. Like they literally did summer characters within the first week. You could get Tifa in her summer outfit and Red 13 as well. He had like a Hawaiian shirt and thing and a hat and sunglasses. He was all decked out. He looked fabulous.
Nice.
But right now they're doing a Final Fantasy 9 crossover, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. So expect some unique things like that to happen across the way. But I mean, it's nice it's coming to Steam, but at the same time, like I was just into that for just a little while to see what it was like to get some impressions on it. And I'll probably come back again and see how that is and see what the Steam version is like as well. But in the end, it's like it just feels like other mobile games that I played when it comes down to it. Great presentation, of course, art, design, all that stuff. But man, I don't know.
it's very much like a Cliff's Notes. Story-wise, it's like a Cliff's Notes version of the original FF7 so far, which doesn't have to be a bad thing. Yeah, but you're definitely there more for the spectacle and presentation of it all. It's nothing deep that's really going to... You know, it's not going to turn your gears from a gameplay mechanic perspective, but presentationally, it's really, really elegant.
Yeah, I will say it's more of an obligation to me than a severe one. I just want to experience the First Soldier story and bits like that. I don't expect to love it, but I'll play it.
Yeah,
that was the main reason I got into it as well.
But the Pokemon Company are saying that their goal is to keep the franchise going for another 100 years. Do you think they're capable of that?
Is that not the goal of every company with an IP ever?
We're planning to like 4 years and then maybe.
Yeah, you know, maybe a few years.
Well, not
Mario's
even
got
just
like
for
5 years left in him.
Not even just 100 years, John. Hundreds.
Oh, hundreds, plural.
Yeah, we're shooting for higher than 100, man. We're going hundreds of years.
How many Pokemon are we going to have in the year 2223? 200 years from now, you think?
That's a good question. When do you just cap it? Like, can you have 6,000 Pokemon?
They're all going to have Mega Evolutions or Gigantamax by that point.
Yeah, we'll have long reached the Poke Singularity by that point. It's weird. Obviously, it's not surprising. That's the goal of every company is to keep their franchises and business going as long as possible. But it is weird to think about Pokemon and what it looks like and the state of it and how many there are. In like, not even 100, just 25 years, right? Or 10, really. Like, it's just weird to think like that, even that far out. What's it gonna look like? How many are there gonna be? Yeah, let alone hundreds of years from now.
Yeah, I think they can do it. Like, it's Pokemon as a series is always like refreshing itself. It's like adults when they get kids, they're gonna put it on their kids, and then those kids grow up with it, and then they'll put it on their kids. It's constantly just getting a new fan base. I guess the question is if the quality is going to keep up. But like Pokemon Concierge, the new Netflix stop motion series, I've watched that trailer like 7 times. It looks so good.
It looks so great.
Yeah. It looks really, really great. And I haven't even played. Oh, go ahead, Daniel.
every animation that isn't the mainline series that's on television, like there's side animations, the series on YouTube, like Pokemon Evolutions or Origins, and now Concierge. How do you pronounce it?
Concierge.
I can't speak either right now, my throat. But those are always like my favorite animations. Like there's so much more like heart put into those and care and love. And you can see it in the the way that there's so much attention to detail in those animations. And I cannot wait for this series to come out on Netflix.
Absolutely. That's the end of the year, I believe. Like right after Christmas, I think.
I think it's like December 28th or something. Christmas. And that just continues the deluge of stuff there is to watch. I know you said earlier, John, you were watching Scott Pilgrim. Yeah. I just started that myself. And that was right after finishing Loki season 2. And there's always something new to watch these days. It's crazy. Pokemon will absolutely be right. If we as a species are around in hundreds of years still, so will Pokemon be. And I mean, that franchise is bulletproof. It doesn't matter what you throw at it. You know, you can say all you want about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet's terrible technical presentation. Doesn't matter. It's still selling gangbusters. The DLCs, I'm sure has already done really well in part one. It's still going to do well for part two. It doesn't matter what you throw at this franchise. It's kind of like Sonic. It doesn't matter what you do to it. It just endures. Sonic will be around in hundreds of years as well.
Fans will make sure that it stays alive.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess it must still be damaging to put out games that just have constant negative press. I'm pretty hopeful. Like Scarlet and Violet have their severe problems. Absolutely, they do. But they also brought the series forward. Like it became open world. It had like full on co-op. Right. Like there's ambition there. Hopefully, they just understand. You know how to. But I don't know if it's necessarily limited, you know, technical knowledge. I think it's just time. If they can get more time to put something else out, I think they can make a good game. And Pokemon's big because it's good. We all love it to some extent. Some may have forgotten why they love it, but hopefully a game can come out that reminds them why they did in the first place. So that's why it's so big, because deep down it is good.
Definitely saw that when Legends Arceus came out. A lot of people were like, oh, this is why I love Pokemon, because there's actually, there was of course a new refreshing look to the way you approach Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And if they can continue ideas like that in the future, hopefully they can still ignite that kind of interest, because there's only so many times that we can say, oh, you know, they're just making the steps to making this sort of thing happen. Like, no, you have to make this happen at this point.
Yeah, that excuse is irritating me for a lot of franchises. Like, oh, the next they can learn from this one to make a good game next time. I said, no, just make a good game now.
That's the Sonic cycle. That's part of the Sonic cycle as well.
Yeah. Right.
They're almost there. Next time they'll get it.
Yeah. No.
I considered myself a lapsed Pokemon fan, actually. Ever since Gen 7, I kind of dropped out. But despite the technical problems, it was Scarlet and Violet that pulled me back in. And I think about the concept of a game that is as good as Scarlet and Violet is, but with presentation that's on par. And it's just like, man, if they could just, if Game Freak could finally nail that part of it, we could have something really, truly special in our hands. Because, I mean, you know, as we've all played Scarlet and Violet, the end game, the story content of the end game is peak Pokemon. Mm. Some of the peak Pokemon content there's ever been. If they could just nail the presentational technical aspect of it, we could have something so truly special.
You were getting a Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl remake, and you're going to like it.
Yeah. I hope they do the Gen 5 remakes justice.
My patience with Pokemon is going to be tested whenever they get around to doing Gen 5 remakes. Because, no matter what it looks like, people are going to be upset. But if I'm happy with it, then I don't care what anybody else thinks.
Yeah.
Right. Really matters.
If it's just bubbly generic 3D for Gen 5, no thank you. I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be either make like an HD 2D looking game or completely reimagine it like Legends did. I don't want just a plain 3D remake. No way. Yeah. We can talk about Pokemon forever. Let's move on. So out of nowhere, a new N64 game was added. And you might be wondering, is it the one that was announced 14 months ago? No. We're still waiting on 1080. They announced, I think it was in September of 2022, they announced a big slate of N64 games. over the course of this year, we've got all but one, I think. Is there more than 1080, mm-hmm. or is it just 1080 at
no,
this point?
No, it's just 1080. That's the last one. Yeah.
But yeah, they said nah. Here's Jet Force Gemini out of nowhere. Another Rare game.
Rare game, though.
Yeah, it's already in Rare Replay, so it's not one of like the ones that hasn't escaped the Nintendo bubble. It's not Diddy Kong Racing, it's not DK64. But it sets a precedent that Banjo and GoldenEye were not one-offs, and we probably should expect the rest of Rare. It's like Blast Corps and Banjo-Tooie and maybe Conker, because Japan also just got an 18-plus N64 app, which was preventing them from having GoldenEye. So what else are you going to put on there? This is wild. I woke up in the morning. I was like, "What do you mean, Jet Force Gemini?"
Right. It's cool. Jet Force Gemini is a great game. It's a really hard game. It's a very unfair game at points, but it's a really good one, and it's got a banging soundtrack too. It's a really good game all around, and I feel like it's one that a lot of people maybe missed in its day. So it's really cool to see, like, you know, it would have been so much more obvious to see like Banjo-Tooie and DK64, which are games I also want to see on the service. Don't get me wrong, but it's kind of cool to see Jet Force Gemini brought back from the dead, like kind of like if Blast Corps ever made it. I feel like that would also qualify. It's kind of one of those lost, just weirder, rare games that you wouldn't expect to see on the service. So yeah, it's really cool to see it come back. And although I do still want 1080, I love that game, actually. I love 1080 snowboarding, and I'm still waiting for it to actually arrive. I figured December makes sense because it's, you know, the cold season and slopes and snow and stuff, and maybe we'll get two games next month on an SO. Who knows?
I have a feeling people are not going to take kindly to how Jet Force Gemini controls.
The
original control scheme has its problems, but like mapping that to a modern controller, because with N64 Online, it's all just universal mapping. Nothing is done by a game-by-game basis. And I have a feeling it's not going to feel right. Like, I don't think the analog stick's going to be mapped in a natural way for this game. So I'm curious how it's actually going to control if you're not using an N64 controller. And if some people are playing it for the first time, they might be like, well, this game sucks. But no, if you stick with it, it is good. I think you got to take some time to get back into the mindset of how this game controls. But it is good if you get used to it.
It is. Yeah, but if you do intend to 100% it, just, you know, settle in. Really, really make sure that your patience is like at the absolute maximum it can possibly be. Because 100%ing Jet Force Gemini I've done it once. I will never do it again. Because it is one of the most frustrating experiences I've ever been through. Personally, I'd say just kind of beat it, but don't go for 100%. That's just me.
Yeah.
But if you know, you know. If you know, if saving the tribals means anything to you, you know. You definitely do.
And also, what Ash said was my entire thought process about Donkey Kong 64, essentially. Mm-hmm. I've done it once. I'm probably not going to do it again.
Never again for DK.
But if I could do that, maybe I could do that for Jet Force Gemini. Who knows? I haven't played that game before. There's some certain games on the N64 I wasn't able to play it at the time. So this will be interesting to come back to. And part of the reason why I appreciate NSO in its own way, it just has more value as time goes on for missed titles like this before.
Yeah. NSO is a big enigma right now, because there's still big games you can add to N64. Like, once 1080 comes out, we've still got Smash. It's probably the biggest one that isn't on there. When's that going to come along? But GBA had stuff like Golden Sun announced, and like they keep randomly dropping like Game Boy and Game Boy Color games every now and then. But Golden Sun's been silent for a while, and like Game Boy, just standard Game Boy, doesn't have Mario Land 1. Like, there's some obvious picks.
Yeah.
And it just makes you think, how long are they going to drag this service on for? Are we going to be going through the next system, still having these like very small droplets coming out every now and then? Because, yeah, there's still a mountain load of stuff you can put on NSO that they haven't touched yet.
I'm still waiting for Mega Man 5 on GBA, or on regular, on Game Boy. Game Boy, yeah.
It does feel like at this point, they're just kind of waiting for the next system to come out, and then there might be a whole other batch of games that come out along with it. Like, you'll get their whole batch of N64 games. We're not having, like, Smash Brothers. If we get more games from Rare, obviously more GBA titles, Golden... Hopefully by then Golden Sun is out, so then Golden Sun 2 can also be released, because that game has interconnectivity together.
Yes.
And that's really exciting because there's certain games on NSO that proves that you can, in fact, have them interconnect with each other very easily. So that's exciting.
Very. Yeah. Now, we had a discussion yesterday about Mario RPG. That's going live tomorrow for everybody. We have learned in Japan how well it's sold so far. And you can assume its overall sales, but for now we're talking just physical units in Japan. And out of all the Mario RPGs that have ever existed, being Paper, Mario and Luigi, you know, all that, it is at number 2, right behind the original Super Nintendo Mario RPG. But of course, the landscape has changed. Digital sales also account for something. So if you were to include digital, it probably is the best-selling Mario RPG. And I believe the Super Nintendo one is like 336,000, and then the Switch one's like 300,000. So, yeah, if you count digital, probably number one, which is huge. It's a huge debut. Yeah. It's ahead of any Paper Mario, ahead of any Mario and Luigi. And we won't learn its overall global sales until the next quarter for Nintendo's financials. But big. Big is the answer so far. Cool.
You love to see it. Heck yeah. And it'll be curious to see, or I'll be curious to see how the Thousand Year Door does next year in relativity to this too. It's really exciting to see. And I just, and you know, you'll see this point as well as others made in our discussion that John mentioned, but I hope that this puts them on notice, puts Nintendo and Square on notice, saying like, hey, people want to see more of this particular Mario RPG universe. People want to see Mallow and Geno again. People want to see another game like this, because I know we all would.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat, but I think the next quarterly earnings are March? It's like, if Paper Mario Thousand Year Door can somehow land in like February, we could have a quarter with both of those sales reported. I have a feeling Thousand Year Door will be next quarter. Wild though. I going into Mario RPG, I kind of felt like Thousand Year Door had overshadowed it. Because they weirdly announced both of them before one of them shipped, and it seemed like the energy was all on Thousand Year Door. So I'm ecstatic to see that Mario RPG is still selling so well.
Yeah. Same.
Everyone's excited with Mario RPG right now. I love the game too, but it's Thousand Year Door that I've always gravitated a lot more towards. That's the one that's for me, and that I'll be looking at. And hopefully, with these sales will just it's just an early sign that the Thousand Year Door is going to sell very well as well, especially people that get interested in Mario RPG from this game. It just looks like a really good start for Mario RPG games that can possibly potentially be something new in the future. Who knows? Depending on how well these do, I hope Nintendo takes notice on this now.
Yeah. Do you think they're looking at both of these games and like they're judging, do we do another Paper Mario RPG? Do we do another standard Mario RPG? Is that why they're doing two RPGs so close to each other? Is it just a test?
I wonder.
They're going to, as I said in that one video, they're going to fuse them all together, and it's going to be Paper Mario and Luigi. That's the name of the game. They're going to be like, it's going to be like a Mario and Luigi game, but it's going to be in a paper aesthetic, and they're going to have more partners back again. So you have four people in a party. Cool. Mario and Luigi, and then two swappable party members. I already have it all planned out.
I was thinking
that would
like,
be amazing.
Chat saying this, so I was thinking Paper Jam while you were saying that, and then just this flood of bad memories came to me.
No, it's all paper aesthetic. It's all back to that. And there's only one Mario.
As much as I actually really do like the Origami King, and I thought Color Splash is okay. I thought it was all right. But I really enjoyed the Origami King. But just the idea of getting a modern Paper Mario game done in that proper RPG style again, like the Thousand Year Door, like the original, is such an exciting prospect. Give me both. Give me Mario RPG 2 and a new Paper Mario done in the traditional RPG style. I'd take them both in a second.
Yeah. I mean, it's different devs. There's no reason why not. It's not like why didn't Mercury Steam make Metroid 5 and also a new IP? Like they can do both. Yeah.
Totally.
Anyway though, they're we've heard about Simpsons Hit and Run sequels before, but never quite as tangibly as this. So, The Simpsons Hit and Run was an awesome game for its time. It was actually huge when it came out. It came at the height of GTA 3, so back on the PS2 and GameCube and Xbox, you know, we had GTA 3, we had Vice City, we had San Andreas, we had Liberty, like stuff like Liberty City Stories and Vice City Stories. Like, it was a huge GTA time. And The Simpsons went on that bandwagon and basically made a GTA game, but more, I guess, more aimed at a younger audience. But it paid so much fan service to the first 8 seasons of The Simpsons. You know, it's golden age. So it was basically a game based in that golden era, with original writing, you know, brand new voice acting, and just a really good game flow. And for years I've wondered, like, why don't they remaster that game? Why don't they make another one of those games? Like, we've had other Simpsons games. We've had The Simpsons game, which was fine, but it wasn't hit and run. And recently, we've basically had this comment from staff who've worked on the game that says, "I'll never understand it. Most people on the production level never understood it," in reference to why it wasn't made. A really bizarre decision, they say. What do we make of that?
Well, and not only that, but the game's executive producer, John Melchior, which is a really cool name, said that they had a 5-game deal for less money than they think Vivendi paid for the first game. They had multiple sequels lined up, and even his boss didn't understand. Like, everyone at the production level was apparently completely puzzled as to why this never, these sequels are never made. It's so weird.
But it reviewed well. It was a commercial success. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Apparently the plan for the sequel was to expand on players' driving capabilities by allowing them to tow objects from vehicles. That's what you missed out on, John. That's what we all missed out on.
I can't say that makes me excited.
Wow.
Come on, the wench in Uncharted 4 didn't convince you?
That was a pretty good wench, actually.
Yeah. It's weird, though. I never had a chance to play this back in the day. I know there's a lot of love for this game. I unfortunately never really got to experience it at the zeitgeist of its hype. I like The Simpsons as much as anybody, but I just never really... I'm not a big GTA fan. I just never really got into that style of game. So I guess this one just kind of passed me by, but it sounds like it's a huge shame that we never got these sequels, or at least one of them.
Shellshock says that Vivendi lost the license to EA, which is true. EA did The Simpsons game after that. But like, what reason is there that they can't license it out or just make a game in the style of Hit and Run? I guess the big problem now is if they were to do a sequel in the modern era, would we even want that? Like, do we want a modern Simpsons game? Because like, Hit and Run was great for gameplay. It was great bringing the world of The Simpsons to life. But I think kind of what made it so good was the writing, and just the fun it had with itself. And I don't entirely know if I want that with modern Simpsons.
Yeah, it's a different era now, isn't it?
Go ahead, Daniel.
Oh no, go ahead. That was it.
One of my best friends is like a massive Simpsons fan, and like he is like, I don't know that I'd want a modern Simpsons game because the modern Simpsons cartoon is kind of all over the place and not nearly as good as those classic seasons. Mm. And he's like the biggest Simpsons fan you could ever hope to meet. And even he's like, yeah, it's kind of today, so I don't know. Because we had kind of a discussion about this the other day because we play Fall Guys every week together. And he was like, yeah, I don't know that I'd trust them that they could do it right because they can't even do the Simpsons show. Yeah. Obviously, different people, but they can't even do the Simpsons show right these days. Apparently, I don't. I've watched episodes.
Now and then, just hoping that maybe they've just somehow nailed Golden Rises or something. But it's always. I think it's the animation style, which makes the pacing feel so weird, and none of the jokes land because of it. But yeah, I check out episodes every now and then, and I just come away feeling sad.
Right. And to address what you said really quick, Shellshock, it is true that Melchior does credit Vivendi not being able to obtain the license, which is as one of the main reasons the sequel didn't get made. But he also points out that Vivendi was able to get the rights to Buffy the Vampire Slayer without issue. So that's not the full story necessarily. Mm. So it's weird. There's still something weird there that didn't quite ever get figured out.
Yeah. Vivendi was also behind Road Rage. Road Rage was a good game, too. That's a crazy taxi car.
Oh, really nice. Good. I remember hearing about it at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's probably enough about The Simpsons for now. How about Felix the Cat? So
this is weird.
Konami are bringing back Felix the Cat. The NES game? Of all the predictions I could have had about Konami, Konami have been nailing most of their... compilations. Metal Gear's a bit iffy, but like Castlevania and and Contra and their arcade series and, you know, all the other, like the Castlevania Advance and everything. That's all been fantastic. So I think Felix the Cat's going to be good, but like, why? Out of all their catalog, why Felix the Cat?
Yeah. I mean, okay, cool. I still really hope Castlevania DS Collection's coming. I'd rather than prioritize yes, that. But okay, why not, I guess? I mean, they've already done the TMNT Collection and, you know, two Castlevania Collections and the MGS Volume 1 Collection, yeah. So... And the Contra one. So I guess, okay, they've earned this one, right? They've earned a one-off WTF. Okay, sure. Felix
this
the Cat.
This is a cooldown.
I love that attitude. Did you guys play this part? That's like the best attitude for games. Like, you can, if you put out some just stellar stuff, do whatever you want yeah. for the next. Like,
exactly.
You've earned it. It's like Nintendo with everyone 1-2 Switch. Like, they put out Tears of the Kingdom. It's like, okay, you can do 1-2 Switch.
You can have this one.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Free pass.
Did you guys play this back in the day?
Never played Felix the Cat. No.
Yeah, I never have either. I've played a ton of licensed games on NES, of course, and there's so many good ones like DuckTales and The Little Mermaid and such, but I've never played Felix the Cat as such. I'm kind of curious about it, I won't lie.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this was a game, like, essentially a remake of the game, or just bringing back a title that was already made before. Is that what this is?
I don't know how clear it is.
Cause like I don't know, because I mean, I don't know, you could bring back Rugrats this year, why not Felix the Cat? You know, this is just the era of classic cartoons coming back to in new titles.
Yeah.
You know what though, if they're gonna do this though, then Konami owe us a Warner Brothers collection. Like, we gotta get Tiny Toons 1 and 2 from NES, Tiny Toons for Game Boy, Animaniacs for both Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. Slash Mega Drive. Sorry, John. I want, you know, Konami did so... Buster Bust Loose. Oh, my God. There were so many good games based on Warner Brothers cartoons for SNES, Genesis, and NES, and Game Boy. I want a collection of those. Basically, the WB version of the Disney Afternoon Collection. I want that so much. Yeah.
Do you think we'll ever get the Disney Afternoon Collection on Switch? how far along is that ship from sailing?
It's never going to happen. I think, and I believe, if I remember correctly, that was just an issue of bad timing. Because when the Disney Afternoon Collection was like a thing, the Switch wasn't quite out yet. And they were still dealing with the Wii U. Yeah. And of course, why would they want to release it on Wii U? So I think that was just one. That was the same reason that the original Mega Man Anniversary Collection was so late on Switch. It was just a matter of timing with the Switch's release. But yeah, I don't think they're going to bother ever. Yeah. Resecuring or you know, rebuying the rights to those franchises games
sure.
to release that on Switch. Just, yeah, that ship has sailed.
Shell Shock's mentioning like an Aliens, The Simpsons, Next-Men triple pack. That'd be cool.
The Simpsons
did get distributed, the arcade game. It got distributed in one of those mini arcade cabinets you can buy. So did Marvel vs. Capcom 2, I believe. But like, haven't the Simpsons game coming back like that? Like, if they can bring it back in one of those arcade machines, why not bring it back as a digital release?
That would be so cool. Sunset Riders, there's so many, like, arcade games that I'd love to see brought back in a collection. Also, Alpha Lion, to answer your question, asking, what's stopping Capcom since they ported Mega Man Legacy Collection to Switch? What's stopping Capcom is that Disney in absolutely charges a lot more for the rights to DuckTales, Little Mermaid et al. Than Capcom does for Mega Man. That is what's stopping them. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's all our news topics for the week, unless you guys have anything more to say about Felix the Cat.
No, but I'm just curious about it. I want to see what it's all about. I'm kind of interested.
Yeah. Right.
Well, now on to our patron topics. And all of our patrons are currently in the live chat. Well, at least our live audience patrons are. Say hi to them. And if you want to ask questions like this, you can over on patreon.com/GVGaming. You can submit your questions to us. And we can pick them and read them and answer them right here on the show. So, Daniel, do you want to read out your question?
My question is just three words, really. It's from Clark, also known as God Gengai 1, which just states your earliest gaming memory. And I was thinking about that just now. And my earliest gaming memory, do I have it still? Hold on.
Is it not in your gut? Sunglasses void.
No, it's not here at the moment. Because that's my other thing. My first gaming memory was my dad getting me a Game Gear way back in the day, and it was like, I don't think we had the charger for it, but it had like this life support battery pack stuck behind it so that it would actually stay charged for more than 3 hours or whatever. He had a whole, he bought a whole box of these just bargain games and licensed titles of stuff that I've never heard before. I remember there was like a Power Rangers game in there, a random Spider-Man game. There was James Pond. Does anyone remember James Pond?
I had James Pond on the Mega Drive.
I do remember that.
Right there on the Game Gear. And the one of the big, the bigger ones was playing Space Harrier with my dad.
Nice.
And my dad and I played a lot of Space Harrier back in the day, trying to get as far as we could. I think if I still have the box, we probably still have the manual inside with the, we wrote down the codes to get through the different levels. To start off on like stage 5 or 6, whatever, those are probably still in there somewhere. And I think my actual first memory is playing Sonic 2, but on the Game Gear version. It's very different from the Genesis or whatever version of Sonic, because that game is very difficult. Like I had different, I had different titles on the Game Gear, like Sonic Chaos, and when, which is a much better game, and Sonic Left 2. Gear. But I remember that one way more. Like the first stage of that game's in that game, the underground zone, it's so weird because usually you think of Sonic's first stage, you think Green Hill, Emerald Hill, nice lush green area. No, you're like in the mines, and there's like lava in this first stage on a mine cart, and it's very hard. I know you know about this, John. The first boss of that stage, the little antlion, if you're playing on Game Gear, it is infuriating because there's not enough real estate on the screen to do anything. And I would celebrate every time I beat that because I wanted to see what was beyond that stage. And it's funny because I think zone 3 or 4 is Green Hills. And I'm just like, I don't understand the format of this game anymore. But
and what's...
that song is in my head forever. And I think it's amazing that the other, I think last year, Jun Senoe and T-Lopes remixed that song. Yes. And I was like, my mind's blown because I feel seen when I heard that. But
it's
that's
so
like
weird.
One of my earliest memories.
Because the music for Green Hills Zone is basically just You Can Do Anything from Sonic CD. And it's such a weird thing for them to pull from. Like, okay, they're just going to have this random middle of the game zone in Sonic 2 for Game Gear / Master System be a chiptune version of You Can Do Anything from Sonic CD. It's so weird. That always just was strange to me. Sonic 2 also, it implies that if you don't get the good ending, it implies that Eggman killed Tails.
Yeah.
It's a weird
game. That game is, it is inconsistent and unhinged, and I kind of love it.
Me too. It's not a particularly good game, but I appreciate the weird space it occupies in the mainline Sonic series, I guess.
At the very least, I do have this here. It's the same copy of Space Harrier, and it still has the price tag on it.
Nice.
The bargain bin price tag is on here. That's hilarious.
Professor Bond says that's the best motivation to get all the emeralds to save Tails' life.
So he doesn't die.
Benji Bear Puff says, Tails, rest easy. You are now among the stars. Yeah. Ouch. Ouch. Daniel, did you happen to have the really weird, janky U.S. gold version of Mega Man for the Game Gear?
No, I don't think I had. No, I didn't have that at all. I have that box of cartridges somewhere in here. I kind of shuffled. It got shuffled around when I moved. But I know I have that, and I can find it again one day. I can show all the exact titles I have from then. But
if you played it, it's such a weird Chimera-like amalgamation of like an off-market Mega Man. I think it's 4 and 5 it combines, and it's such a weird. And the publisher is U.S. Gold. I don't even know what else they published. I don't even know.
Oh my gosh.
Weird game. Weird game.
My first gaming memory. I can't even quite remember which one is the correct one. But I'm the youngest of 3, so my older sister is 6 years older than me. So when I was like 3 or 4, she would have been like nearly 10. So she was getting a lot of game stuff. So she got a Game Boy, and then the next year a Dreamcast. So I kind of played on whatever she had whenever I had a chance to. And I remember the first thing we had was a Game Boy. And one of 3 games was the first one I played. It was either Mario Land, Pokemon Red, or Game & Watch Gallery. And I can't quite recall, but I think it was Game & Watch Gallery, the first one I played. It was either that or Pokemon. I remember just walking around Cerulean City on her save while she was going like, what are you doing? Go away! But I'm pretty sure it was Game & Watch Gallery. That was my first video game memory.
Nice. My first video game memory was, well, the first game I ever got played was the combo cartridge of Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt for NES. I got that and the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with my NES when I was like 5 years old. But the first one I played was Mario and Duck Hunt, specifically Mario. And back in those days, I remember my mom would play with me, and we would play Mario together. And obviously, I was too young to be very good at it, and so we both really struggled. And then finally, and I'll never forget this, I remember I don't even know how long it took us, maybe a month. I don't know. I was five. Who knows? But we were playing for quite a while, and then we finally were able to beat World 1-4 and beat, the dragon. We used to call him the dragon, of course, being Bowser. And they're like, we beat the dragon. Oh, my God, I beat the dragon. And, sorry, Mario, but your princess is in another castle. That didn't mean anything to me, to my five-year-old mind. And so I thought, we did it. We beat the game. We won. We finished the game. We conquered it. And then I remember seeing World 2-1, and that blew my five-year-old brain to smithereens. I was like, World 2-1, there's more? And yeah. That was my mom tapped out. My mom's like, okay, yeah, have fun. I love you, but I'm done.
It's funny revisiting games from your childhood. Like, you remember putting your whole life into these games, and then as an adult, right, you can finish them in like a few hours.
Exactly. It's like nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing by today's standards, but back then, it took us like however long just to beat 1-4 and thinking the dragon was it.
Yeah.
And then, and then I was like, 2-1, and then that was it. My brain was blown, and I was just into games for a lifetime, for my life.
Well, what's your question, Ash, for the week?
My question for the week comes from Hendrix Trog, who asks, what is a video game system you don't currently own but wish you did? And I'm gonna slightly cheat with this one, because this is a game system I used to own, but I don't know. I cannot tell you for the life of me what happened to it. I have all of my old consoles going back to the NES. I still have all of them, whether they're here with me, whether they're in storage. I have them all, except the one that got away, and it pains me to this day. I used to have a Sega Saturn. And it disappeared. And that hurts, because I love the Saturn. I have a soft spot for the Saturn so much. And, it's one of the greats. It's such a special system. And I had Virtual Fighter 2. I had Virtual Fighter Kids. I had Sonic 3D Blast. I had Knights. I had, what was it? Oh, God, the Fighters Megamix.
Did you have Fighting Vipers?
Fighting Vipers, yeah.
Yeah, Saturn is a goldmine for fighting games. It's the definitive versions of so many.
I had Bug.
You had Bug!
Yeah, and I love that system so much, and I could not tell you what happened to it. I know I didn't sell it, because I've never sold any of my old consoles. My parents wouldn't have sold it. So it's just one of those things where it was just lost to the mists of time. Maybe it got lost somehow. I know at one point I had quite a few really high-value games stolen from where we used to live. And maybe at the same time those games were stolen, the same people who stole those swiped the Saturn and my games too. I don't know what happened to it, and it breaks my heart to this day. So I don't currently own it. I used to, but as you know, trying to get a Sega Saturn these days is you're paying more than an arm and a leg. You're paying an arm and a leg and maybe a bit of your head and an ear and a tooth. So I want to get it. I want to replace it, but I don't know if I ever actually will. That's why I'm still hoping Sega will one day actually follow through on a Sega Saturn Mini. Jeez. They probably won't, but yeah. I would be happy to buy a Saturn Mini sight unseen. But yeah, that's my... It's the one that got away. I couldn't tell you what happened to it, but I sure do miss that thing. I love the Saturn to death.
I love all of the Saturn game shoutouts in live audience right now, like Guardian Heroes, yes. Sega Rally, Daytona,
Guardian Heroes,
Panzer Dragoon. Like, yeah, it is such a cool system. Like, it didn't do that well in its time, but if you go through now, it is just packed full of gems. There's so many good Saturn games out there.
Yeah, I had Guardian Heroes as well. Yep, I just... And I still will defend. I know a lot of people don't like Sonic 3D Blast. It's not the best game, but I actually think it's a pretty fine game. And the Saturn soundtrack, or the Saturn version soundtrack, slaps so hard. It's one of the best Sonic soundtracks of all time, and that's obviously a really high bar. And it's to this day, I've found that not It's not exactly that widely known that the Saturn version has a different soundtrack than the Genesis version. And it's completely different and so much better. And one of the best, one of the all-time greats. And then, of course, Knights. Knights is just one of my favorite games of all time. And I used to have it physically and gone.
I will stand by that Sonic R is a good game. I don't care what anyone says. Sonic R is just pure
Sonic R! I had that too! Yeah. I love Sonic R! And that soundtrack is perfection. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. Sonic R has the perfect soundtrack. Perfect.
Yeah. Raw joy, says Sonic R. Yeah, raw joy is how you describe Sonic R.
It is exactly. Raw joy is my favorite description of Sonic R ever.
Shellshock says, did you own Mega Man 8 or X4 on Saturn, Ash?
I always only ever owned Mega Man 8 and X4 on PlayStation, so no. I'd never had the Saturn versions. I know the differences, obviously, for Mega Man 8 on Saturn. It is the superior version, for sure, but I only ever owned, and I still own, 8 and X4 on PS1.
I'm quite like you. I still own most of the systems I've ever had, and I've got stuff from before my time. So I've got every Nintendo system, every PlayStation system, every Sega system. I say every Nintendo system. My one gap is the Virtual Boy, which never released in Europe. But I'm a big Wario Land fan, and I've never played Wario Land for Virtual Boy, and I want to. Actually, you've got the power of being a statue again, by the way.
Thank you.
Good but I, there have been so many times where I've looked on eBay at Virtual Boys, and I'm like, do I want to pay £500 to play Wario Land? Will that come back to bite me? Probably, but I kind of want to do it. And I know one of these days I'm going to bite the bullet and get a Virtual Boy just to play Wario Land. But that is honestly pretty high up there for me. Because there's a few other Virtual Boy gems out there, but I've never actually properly played a Virtual Boy. I know people say it gives them headaches, but I kind of want to... Like, are they wrong? I want to experience that for myself.
You know, it never gave me headaches. It definitely wore out my, like, it made my eyes tired. Because I rented one from Blockbuster, RIP, a few times. I rented one a few times, and I played Wario Land, Mario Clash, all those games. And you should play Wario Land Virtual Boy at some point, John. I think you'd enjoy it. But it never gave me headaches, though.
Yeah. Well, that's probably my answer. If not a Virtual Boy, then I don't own any... Well, I own a Neo Geo Pocket Color, but otherwise I don't own any Neo Geo systems. And I'd love to, but they're also very expensive.
Yes, they are. Mushworks mentioned earlier in our YouTube chat, Ash is the son of iconic voice actor Rob Paulsen. You think he could easily get a new Sega Saturn if he lost his old one? And I love the shout out. I love my dad to death, but I struggle to see what one has to do with the other. I love my dad to death, but he doesn't know anyone at Sega. He doesn't have the inside track on getting cheap Sega Saturn. So yeah, I couldn't tell you what one has to do with the other there.
What about you, Daniel? Any system that you would love to own?
sorry about that. I'm thinking right now. It would have been cool if I had access to an N64 DD, the disk drive.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Because, like, but the big one for me is wondering what the F-Zero X expansion kit is like. Because
I wish so badly that they included that on NSO. Like, that would be the perfect time to do that.
That would have been amazing. Like the, because you can, if you play F-Zero X and you you clear enough cups and you get to the X cup, like that has the blueprints of what the track editor is, because it has randomly generated tracks there, like tracks that looked like they can be made with someone who had done a track editor, and they're like really short, really weird and wonky tracks, but that's the only hint that we have over here in our release of it. And to see that actual thing happen would be amazing. I think if we eventually do get a new F-Zero game, it would be cool to have some kind of track editor in that game so that it could be something that people can continue to play for years from now. And I think that was just a really good idea back then, and then just to see it expand from there. And of course, we have other games like Animal Forest back then when it was called Animal Crossing. It would be really cool to experience that back in the day. And that's also where Dosh and the Giant was originally released as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On the disc drive. So just a lot of little gems that I wish we could have seen that didn't see the light of day over here for us that I would have loved to seen. And like not officially, I think it'd be cool to have the Pocket Analog. I have a lot of Game Boy Advance games that I want to just play on the go and just, you know, my actual physical cartridges and take them with me somewhere, and because my other handhelds are just not in peak condition anymore. So that'd be fun as well.
Mm-hmm. Good answers.
But, yeah. Good answer. Good answer.
All right. The last question comes from Wataniac, and they say, okay, but will the Switch 2 have achievements? It's been almost 20 years since 360 launched. If not, do you have any idea for why they may have decided not to implement them? Now, it's interesting, because Nintendo do have, like, game-based rewards, like Nintendo missions. Like, if you get gold coins for, like, booting up a certain NSO game or for doing whatever in a game, like, they have the kind of the foundation for it there. But we've gone through, you know, we've gone through the Wii U, we've gone through 3DS, we've gone through Switch, all that post-360 era stuff, without any achievements. What do you think? Like, do they need them? And if not, like, why not?
I don't think they're needed, and I just don't. And I think the reason they've never been like Nintendo systems have never had achievements, I think, is a lot simpler and more boring than you might think. I just don't think Nintendo cares. I don't think it's something they care about doing. I think they're obviously more than fully aware that you got achievements on Xbox, trophies on PlayStation. They've had more than enough time to implement their own version of that on their own in their own hardware family, and they haven't. And I think it's because they don't care. They just don't want to. It's not a priority for them.
It's like a game by game basis, though, isn't it? Because like some games do, like Smash.
I mean, at the system level, I mean, but yeah.
Like some developers do seem to want them, but like system level, they don't seem to have any interest.
Yeah.
There's all these games that have their built-in, baked-in achievements, quote-unquote, inside the game itself. Some of them are Nintendo games that do that exact thing, but nothing that's just, you know, based across the entire system, as you said, with trophies or achievements. Closest thing we have at all right now are getting, like, platinum coins weekly for playing a certain game every week and so on. But it's nothing that's, like, super defining. I know there are certain people that will buy specific versions of games just so they can get their trophies, which, I mean, all power to them, but to me, honestly, it's just by what would be the most ideal experience for me, and achievements aren't really a part of that, and I don't think Nintendo really sees that. As you mentioned, they don't really see that to be a high priority for us either. So
I think I used to care about achievements. I remember getting like all of them in Resident Evil 5 and Halo 3. But it's been a long time since I've actually cared about achievements.
Same.
Like, if I really love a game, like, maybe I'll look at the achievement list and try and get some of them, but I don't know. I guess that their novelty's worn off for quite a while for me. It's got to the point where I've actually turned off the notification for some achievements, because sometimes in, like, story-heavy games, like, a really important scene happens, and you're like, oh, you're like really invested, and all of a sudden it's like, ding!
Completely pulls you out of the moment.
Yeah. It's like, personally, if they had achievements, like, I'd be like, yeah, cool. But if they didn't have them, I don't think I'd think any differently, really. Like it'd be a cool bonus, but it doesn't really top the list of things I want on the next system.
If they were, like, tied into, like, eShop discounts, okay, you got me interested. But beyond that, or, you know, eShop coupons and whatever, sure, that'd be cool, but they'd never do that. And so, I had a very, very narrow window of time that I cared about achievements and trophies, and that window has long since passed. I mean, sometimes I'll have fun trophy hunting on, like, you know, like collections of retro games, like, you know, Sonic Origins or the Mega Man collections or whatever. Like, those are kind of fun sometimes to go for trophies for, but in general, I just don't care.
Go ahead, Daniel.
There's some games that it's like it's feasible to get all the trophies, and I kind of use it as like a checklist to see that I've done and seen everything of this game that I really like. Specifically did that most recently for the two Spider-Man games, especially Spider-Man and Miles Morales, because it doesn't take that long to get all the trophies in that one. And I might do that for Spider-Man 2 as well, who knows. But there's some games that they're very specific things that you don't really have to go out of your way to do. I don't think I was that meticulous. I haven't been that meticulous getting trophies since probably the original Persona 5, and that took a long time to do, because I love playing that game anyways. That and Royal Platinum trophies that for some reason, but I don't think I would do that much anymore ever again.
I think the place I'd like to see achievements most would probably be like the NSO, like recontextualizing older games, putting like challenges in there. Like,
that would be cool.
That'd
like
be
maybe
fun.
Like a you get an achievement for keeping Samus in the air in Super Metroid for like a minute just by doing like the bomb hops. I think that kind of stuff could be cool. But
yeah,
otherwise, really. Yeah, like I'd be happy if they did it, but I don't think differently if they didn't.
Mm-hmm. And Wendy456 in our YouTube chat, I agree with you. It does depend on the game to a degree. Like, in general, I don't care about achievements and trophies, but kind of like what Daniel was saying with the Spider-Man games, if the platinum or the 1,000 achievement, you know, gamer score, whatever, if it's something I don't have to like grind and it's just something I can easily kind of mop up on my natural course through completing the game, then I'll do it because that's fun. But I'm just, I don't care about extending my gameplay hours in a game by grinding out achievements when I could just move, when I've already finished the story, I've done everything I wanted to do, and I could just move on to another game. Like, that I won't do. But if I can mop everything out cleanly with maybe a few more hours on top of the regular completion time, and it's just fun, then yeah, I'll do it.
Live audience is just talking about NES remakes now, because I guess yeah, that was Nintendo thinking about like how to put achievements in older games. Like, why didn't that continue?
Games.
That was such a good series.
Wanted SNES Remix so bad. Yeah. I was so sure we were going to get it.
Yeah.
It was too good of an idea, and that's why they had to stop it.
Yep.
As they tend to.
Well, yep. I think that probably brings us towards the end. I will admit, because I don't usually host these things, I do not have all the equipment and assets to have our outro with all the names on. But luckily, Ash has memorized each and every one of your names. He doesn't have a list. He's just got it in his head.
Yeah, right.
And he will be reading them for us.
Well, before we get there, though, we're almost done. We have a few more Super Chats to read out. So just we're going to go through these really quick. First off, we have Leo Flo again with $5. Thank you so much. Asking if we have any Black Friday deals we're happy about today. The Xbox Store and eShop had lots of nice price cuts. We did touch on this at the beginning of the show. Personally, I'm going to be going for one of those $50 DualSense controllers because my second DualSense is suffering from mad drift, and it's basically unusable now. So I'm looking to get one of those $50 DualSense. And I also noticed that It Takes Two is like $12 in the PlayStation Store
nice.
Right now.
Yeah.
And I haven't played it. I've been meaning to play with my wife, and like that's something we've wanted to do for a while now. So I'm going to grab it on the PlayStation Store along with one of those DualSenses, and we are going to finally play It Takes Two.
Awesome.
What about you guys?
Well, I picked up Raincode. But otherwise, I look on the eShop after this and see if anything jumps out. But that's probably my what I'm pleased with for now, anyway.
Cool. And I'll let you know what I pick up once I get through the games I'm done now. Well, I guess I can't wait, actually. I'll take a look later, and I'll let you know what's on that list later. I'm going to try and find Raincode as well.
The next, Blaker36 is back with $1.99. Thank you so much, saying Pokemon Gen 4 is actually their favorite remake. Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl is their favorite remake. So I never got a chance to play it myself. It always looked interesting. Gen 4 is always my least favorite generation, actually. So I was kind of curious about it, but it's just one of those things I never got around to, unfortunately. But glad to hear you love it, Blake. Next up is Spicy Marsh with $5. Thank you, Spicy. Hey, guys. Long-time chatter, first-time listener. Hope you guys have a great Black Friday. P.S. Are there any plans for What's That Track to reappear? Yes, there are always plans to reappear. it's unfortunately a show that takes a lot of different moving parts and multiple of us to be available at the same time, right? So there's just a lot of different things that need to happen to pull the show together, but it hasn't been discontinued or anything. We're always wanting to do another one. It just takes a lot of different moving parts to kind of fall in to the right place, right?
Yeah. You have frozen but again, yes. By the way, Ash, but it's a
pretty well, I'm not worried about it right now. Okay, I'm worried about it right now. Next up, Denova FRFX with $4.99. Thank you. Listening while working Black Friday, been up since 10 a.m. yesterday and still got 3 more hours. Thanks for keeping me sane as I slowly drift away. Jeez. We hear that. But thank you for hanging out with us during your shift. I'm glad we're making it a little easier on you, Denova, and hang in there. You are almost done, and you can go home and sleep the day away, for sure. Thank you so much. And then finally, our good friend Aramis Baramis with $10. Thank you so much, Aramis. Hey, GBG crew, any fun shopping stories? Before I could drive, my older brother would take me with him around 5 a.m. on Friday and would make a full morning of it. Some of my favorite memories with him. That's a good question. I have very fond memories of my. I used to take. I can't remember what the subject was, but like one summer, I had a Saturday morning class. I think it was for typing. It was like a typing class, and my dad would take me every morning and pick me up. And then one of those mornings, he knew how excited I was for Star Fox 64, and he told me he would take me to get it after the typing class that Saturday morning. It was like I think it came out in like in August or something. I don't know. But I remember very specifically my dad taking me to get Star Fox 64 that day, and he got really into it too. We'd play the multiplayer a lot together, so that's a very fond gaming memory of mine personally, and shopping memory specifically.
I don't have that many shopping memories. Though, when I was in my old hometown, there was a retro store called Car Club, which I'd go to like every day after school. And I bought so much there that one day that the guy just looked at me and was like, "Have these DK bongos. Like, you buy so much from me, just have these DK bongos." So that was like my loyalty reward for spending all my money there.
Nice. Anything on your end, Daniel?
Probably a really quick one was just a group shopping quest that my crew and I went on back in high school to get the Wii when that was coming out, and we settled on a Target that was near one of the malls we live by, and we just camped out there that whole night, and it was just a fun little trip, like going around everywhere trying to figure out, like trying to triangulate where to go and where we should be. And we all picked up a Wii that day. We took a photo. It was like a stack, a pile of six Wiis on each other
That's cool.
back then. It was a
Nice.
fun little memory back then. All picked up Zelda too, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Awesome, awesome. Well, yeah, that is our last super chat for the day. Thank you all so much for your generosity, as always. We really, really could not appreciate you enough. And speaking of appreciation, we also appreciate our patrons. And we say this every week, of course, but we could not do this without you. Thank you so much. And we're going to do something a little special today. Because John is not equipped with the producer role and the usual scroll and everything, I'm going to read out our producers as well as our executive producers. I don't do that every week, of course. Normally it's just the EPs who get read out, but this week is special. It's a special early morning, afternoon UK episode of the GVG cast, and I want to give our producers proper credit as well. So here we go. Our amazing, incredible producers are Jacob One, Mikhail Walburn, Felix Nebulous, Don Koopman, Kevin Online, Sonic Kurosaki, Nick Munger, BeardJ373, Critter XD, Iggy Coop, Kirindas, BetterChan13, Super Duper Pooper Scooper, Blindman, Light Up Bob, Zorts, Peter J. Ortiz. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm using the wrong. Oh, I'm using a Shell Shock. I'm so sorry. DJ Andy, Joseph Bayer, Tony, Squire, Ben Frick, Eddie B, Emil, Micah RY, Colix, Andy Chung, Legend of Jess, Chris Lewis, Daniel Cod, Gold Lichting, Michael Abuda, Refined Pet, Volimar, Hayes, Kristinton 2025, Kotar, Mega Amster, Abyssla Oseni, Sir Stupefy, Jack Hines, Twilord, Jackomon, Cornflakes, Hendrix Trog, Klaxon, Rizmon, Whisperil, Duke of Donuts, Riley McGowan, Zlaker, I Eat Dragons, Kyle Gamer and Barry Rookie, Salad Dinner, Jacqueline McAhey, Caitlin, Cold Cobra 84, Leo Silva 75, Chris Turlack, RHKJ No Nitro, Jung Ant, Disney Duncan Metcalf, Goomba Odyssey, Terrastorm, Stoby, Got Game Guy 1, Brandon Digwood, Michael Harwood Jones, Evie Plays, Roberto Nieves, Sinku Clover, and last but certainly not least, D-Bits. Thank you all so much. Our every single producer that I just read, we could not keep on the lights without you, so thank you so very much. And then, of course, we have to also give an extra special shout out to all of our patrons at the executive producer tier and above. And those equally incredible, wonderful, amazing, stupendous folks include Brandon Bovia, Cutie Caitlin, Fangs, Z Patty, Sky Blue Flames, Eastman 23, Adam O'Sullivan, Richard Herrera, Logan Daniel, The D-Pad, Blake, Joy Content, Angel Martinez, Vedran, Joshua Hunter, Benny Yao, Azran127, Black King, Joseph Rutkin, Kiki Griffin, Lucky Wonderfish, Wataniac, Top Dog 23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Andrew Medeiros, Darchy, Becca, Michael McCaw, Matthew Wong, Goron Amber CPHT, Too Much Spaghetti, Bane 400, Ascaron 809, Ryaner, Rain and Clouds, The Game Orb, Super Gamer Dude 101, Grantles, Ravelox, Rosa Pardo Bowling, Hello Steve's Mom, Skull Kid Tiger, Darksteel 01, Jason Uloa, Jaden Buck, Cystic Warrior 29, DJ Jurassic, Derek, Colin, Blaystar 25, Mumbling Yeti, Cameron Sharp, Heal, Brendan Hesse, Mumbling Yeti, Cameron Sharp, I'm sorry, Brendan Hesse, Hustlebun, Noah Fitterer, Calvin Atkinson, Brainchild, The Entire State of Wisconsin, Jim Wakelin, Aramis Baramis, Kyle the Monarch, Dat Alpha Lion, Lord Metarex, Blaze Collard, Eric, Cat Eevee Person 5, Peyton Thiel, Mega Beatman True Blue Reviews, Ryan Hanley, The Game Jamie, Alex, and finally, Zombie Joe. Thank you so much. And also, I apologize. Grantles is now Mercury. I did not realize. I didn't get that memo. So, Mercury, thank you very much. And wow, such an honor to read out both of those lists. John, take it away, man.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate you watching. And Ash, I'm not sure if you realize, but I had Sonic R music playing while you were reading that to just emphasize how much we love them. We feel the sunshine.
I love it. I love it. I did not realize that at all.
Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. It's always so fun to do this with you all. I'm sorry that I'm not on more shows. Hopefully we can do earlier shows in the future. And hopefully you guys don't have to wake up so early to do this as well. We'll find a better time. But yeah, thank you for joining us. And if you want to, you can be in that little box at the bottom on patreon.com/GVGaming, where you can be in the live audience and be emphasized in our view, and also submit questions to be asked during GVGcast. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.